everyone, and welcome to episode 26 of the Medieval Podcast. I'm Danielle Cebulski, also known as the 5-Minute Medievalist. I think one of the most common questions that I get as a historian is, what is history useful for? So today I'm going to show you how completely useful it is by telling you how to use history to survive the zombie apocalypse. Just over a year ago, I put together a little tiny booklet called The 5-Minute Medievalist's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse, and in it I talked a little bit about how people survived everyday situations in the Middle Ages and how we can go back to that in the event of a zombie apocalypse. So here's hoping it never happens, but in case it happens, we can actually use some medieval technology and ideas as ways to survive the zombie apocalypse. And I was thinking about this because if we look at, you know, potential disasters, I read a lot of dystopias. When we look at potential disasters, climate disasters, or an EMP taking out our electricity, or things like that, we can deal with them in lots of different ways. But the interesting thing about the idea of a zombie apocalypse is it's kind of medieval in that you have to defend yourself against a humanoid form. So in the Middle Ages, of course, people are defending themselves against other humans, but in this case, we are defending ourselves in the future against a humanoid form, which means that we have to come up with some defenses that would be useful in the Middle Ages and can be useful again today. So that's why I wrote The 5-Minute Medievalist's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse, a way of looking at history and some of the technologies and techniques people use to survive, especially when they were up against a humanoid enemy. So we're going to get into that. How do we survive the zombie apocalypse using medieval history? So when the zombie apocalypse hits, the first thing we're going to need to do is make weapons or find weapons, because we all have seen the movies, we've seen the TV shows, and the first thing you need to do is escape the zombies as the outbreak hits. So we know from watching these shows that a really effective weapon is, of course, a gun. So if you can get your hands on a gun, that is going to be useful, especially at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, because we all know that the only way to stop a zombie is through a headshot, take out their heads, destroy their brains, which is kind of interesting. Maybe that's why they're always trying to replace their brains by going after brains. So you're going to want a gun if you can find one. But the problem with guns is eventually you will run out of bullets. And in the case of the zombie apocalypse, how are you going to get more? It's going to be increasingly difficult to replace your bullets. So the best weapon that you're going to want to use is a bow, in my opinion. Back in the Middle Ages, the most deadly bow, well, there were crossbows as well, but the most deadly simple bow was the English longbow, which is based on the Welsh bow. And these bows were about 6 feet tall, so they are very, very long. It's estimated that they had a draw weight of between 150 and 200 pounds. So a draw weight is the amount of force that it takes to pull the bowstring to full draw. So full draw is from the end of one of your arms, right, holding it out, to the bowstring coming back to basically your ear. So to put this in perspective, most Olympians, this is male Olympians, have a draw weight of around 50 pounds. And so medieval archers were drawing bows with a draw weight of 150 to 200 pounds. So when the zombie apocalypse hits, you might want to just go and get a bow from an outdoor store if you can find one. And you want a draw weight that you can actually pull. Don't go straight for the English longbow if your neighbor has one or you want to make one. That is going to be really hard for you to pull. It took a lifetime of practice before you could really use one well. That doesn't mean that you can't create a shorter bow, a good one. And so when you create your own bow, you want to use part of the younger wood of the inside of a tree and part of the older wood. And this is to give it a nice flexible curve. So once you've cut that to a length that you can use, you put a notch in the top and the bottom and you create yourself a string. And we know that people in the Middle Ages use things like silk cord to make a good string. When you hook it up, you want to put a loop at the top and a loop at the bottom, and you're going to want to twist it to create some tension. If you have wax to wax it and keep it from fraying, that's even better. People in the Middle Ages seem to have kept their bowstrings under their hats to keep them dry, and that might be something that you want to do as well. And if you can't make a nice bowstring, make one out of what is available to you. The good thing about bows is, as we know from accounts of medieval crime, is that if your bowstring snaps or if you don't have time to string your bow, you can always swing your bow like a bat. So it's always useful to have a bow, because if it's strung, it is very useful for shooting projectiles. If it's unstrung, then you can use it as a bat as well and inflict that devastating head wound that you need to. You want to create arrows out of a lighter wood, hopefully as straight as possible. And you want to create your fletching out of the flight feathers of a bird. So you can't just use any feathers, unfortunately. You have to use the flight feathers of a bird, which means that you can only create a few arrows from a single bird. But that's okay, because you can eat that bird, you can use those feathers for fletching, and you can use the rest of the feathers for stuffing things like pillows and blankets and mattresses. So it's okay, even though you can only make a few arrows out of a single bird's feathers, you can use the rest of the feathers for everything else, and you can eat the bird as well. Of course, people in the Middle Ages used swords when they were fighting. If you have a sword available, that's going to be pretty rare. But if you can pick a sword, say you've gone to a special sword store and you're breaking into it as the zombies are coming, what you probably want to go for is called a bastard sword or a hand and a half sword. Because there are two-handed swords and there's one-handed swords, but people also like to use bastard swords because you can use them either two-handed or one-handed. If you use it two-handed, you've got more power. If you use it one-handed, you've got more speed. These are both really important when you're picking your sword. If I had to recommend one, I'd say go with a bastard sword. Now, it's unlikely that you're going to end up with a sword, but it is very likely that you're going to need something sharp, and fortunately, you should be able to find knives everywhere. Now, in the Middle Ages, a lot of crimes happened because people had knives all the time. They kept them on their belts, especially for eating, because people used knives for eating in the Middle Ages. You didn't want to eat off your knife. That is rude. But you did need to use your knife to carve things. So people kept eating knives with them all the time. And that's probably something that you'll want to do as you start to catch and carve your own food. And fortunately, you'll have all sorts of other knives to choose from. You want to collect some big ones, some very small ones, and hopefully some serrated ones as well. Serrated ones are going to be useful when you have to cut things like antlers to be used for something else. Or if you have to cut through bone, if you are chopping up an animal that you need to eat. Or in an unfortunate case for amputation as well. Now, hopefully you want something sharper. Serrated knives are something that you'll need as well. And you want to keep a whetstone handy. I've seen little tiny whetstones that Vikings put on their belts. That is something you can use. And if you can't find a whetstone, you can just use a piece of ceramic. So keep a whetstone or a piece of ceramic handy to keep your knives nice and sharp, and you'll have them ready for you whether you need to eat something delicious or fight off a zombie. And finally, a weapon that people used in the Middle Ages that we'll probably need during the zombie apocalypse is spears. Spears are useful for throwing, yes, but if you've thrown a spear, that means you don't have a weapon in your hand anymore unless you have a secondary one. So it's useful to know how to use a spear when you're holding it as well. So they're great for throwing. They're also great for poking people, keeping zombies away from you as they were used back in the day. Good thing about spears is you can use them to poke or you can use them to hit like a quarterstaff. So like bows, spears are useful in that you can stick people with a pointy end or you can use them as a bat and keep zombies away from you. They are good weapons to use at a distance. It's definitely something to practice with. So we know in the Middle Ages as well, sometimes people were called up to fight and they had to use weapons that they had just lying around for everyday use. So things like axes are going to be useful, pitchforks if you have them, things like that were used as well. And the good thing about axes is the way you use them would build up the muscle that you could use for other things. So axes, definitely useful if you can find one, an axe or a machete. This is also a handy thing to have. When you finally got yourself safe, the first thing that you need to look for is shelter. You're going to need to find a place where you can hole up and wait it out or at least start to build a community. So shelter is an important thing. And when medieval people were building their towns, villages, castles, they also had to pick a site that was going to be useful for them. And the thing that they needed to work around most often is water. We absolutely need water to survive. We need water to grow things. We need water to wash. We definitely need water to drink. So we need to have water accessible to us at all times. And when we think about the zombie apocalypse, just like in medieval warfare, most often you're going to be under siege. So when you find a place where you can shelter, you need to be able to get water while under siege. So this is really important. When people were building castles in the Middle Ages, one of the first things that they needed to build was a well. Because as soon as those walls go up and you are stuck behind them, you still need to get at water. So you want to build a well or have another way of getting at water. Having a stream running through your castle is probably not a great idea because people can access wherever there is a hole in the wall. So a well is a very good idea when you're creating your shelter during the zombie apocalypse. In addition to wells, if you need to collect water, you can always collect it from the sky. People back in the day when they were in castles and they were under siege, or even just normally, they would catch water in rain barrels and use that. And so that is something that is definitely an option for you during the zombie apocalypse. You can catch rainwater. You want to make sure that you're keeping that water in motion as much as possible, or else you're going to breed mosquitoes. And that's the other thing that's going to try and eat you during the zombie apocalypse. That's not what you want. So you're going to keep that water in motion as much as possible so that it's not stagnant and breeding the other thing that is going to try and eat you in this terrible future that we're imagining. So beyond water, another thing that you're going to need is wood, because it's great to use propane and hopefully we'll use it for a long time and hopefully we'll have access to it for a long time as we're fighting off these zombies. But eventually, we'll run out of propane. So we're going to need wood, just like people had back in the day. So when you're building your shelter, you want to find a place where you have access to wood and you can cut as much of it as you need and hopefully not have to leave your shelter too far to do this. And kind of a good thing is to clear the area around your shelter of wood. So if you're sheltering in a wooded place, you want to clear the area around your shelter of trees. And this is important for a few reasons. First of all, you get the wood, which is really helpful. And secondly, you get good sight lines. So you can see if anyone is approaching your shelter because they have to walk across a clear area of land before they get there. So you want to clear that. And the other reason is it reduces the chance of fire reaching your shelter. So it's a nice fire break to have wood cleared between you and the rest of the world. So it's good to clear an area around your shelter. Hopefully it's a wooded area, because then when you clear it, you can use that wood for other things. So the people that you want clearing the area of wood are the people who can use those muscles later to fight off zombies. So back in the Middle Ages, people used wood cutting as a way to develop the muscles that they needed. Busco is one of the knights that cut wood as a way to build up the muscles that he needed to swing a sword overhead. And if you have a sword or if you have an axe that you're using against zombies, great practice as well as very practical activity is to cut the wood that you need for everything else. So send the people that are going to be using handheld weapons out to cut the wood. This is really useful to build their muscles, and also because those people are the people that you want between the zombies and you, safe in your shelter. Now, when medieval people were building their castles, obviously they had to build walls. And when you build a wall in the Middle Ages or in the zombie apocalypse, hopefully you build more than one and you build them in concentric circles. So you can see this in medieval castles, so that when people are attacking, the defenders have a place to fall back and fall back and fall back until they take their final stand in the middle, which is usually a keep in the case of a castle. So you want to build concentric circular walls. If you can do that, there is a trick that medieval people did that we can do in the zombie apocalypse as well. And that is, when you're building a wall, it's kind of difficult, right? You have to find all the stone and you have to build the stone up. And if you want to make a wall that's very thick, as people did back in the day, these walls were very, very thick. You could drive a car along the top. They're very, very thick walls. And so the trick that they used was to make these walls hollow. So they would build an inner wall and an outer wall. And in between, if they didn't want to use that space for things like rooms, they could fill it with other things like sand and debris or other rocks so that they didn't have to have perfectly bricked walls. They would have an inner section and an outer section, and then they'd fill the middle with debris and other things in order to make a thick wall without having to cut stone perfectly. And in the zombie apocalypse, I'm sure we will have all sorts of useless appliances that we can use to fill our walls and make them strong and make them thick without having to cut stone, because I don't know about you, but that is not a skill that I have myself. So if we can save our time building walls by filling them with all sorts of useless things, that will make our walls thicker and better for us to defend. And if we can make them in concentric circles, that's even better. Now, I don't know if the zombies that are coming at us are going to know how to swim or not, but in the Middle Ages, we all know that people built moats and they built ditches. And I think these are probably very useful things as well. In the zombie apocalypse, we may be facing, you know, regular humans that we don't want to deal with as well. So we might want to build a moat or a ditch. A good thing that you can do is divert a river and turn that into a moat so that it is constantly full and hopefully flowing. That's useful. Or you can just build a ditch and you can fill it with really pointy sticks, which is always a good idea. Zombies, regular humans, nobody wants to cross a ditch full of pointy sticks. That is another thing we can do that is fairly simple to keep our shelter safe. There's a survival tip that I have survival tips in my guide to surviving the zombie apocalypse. And the one that I have for shelter is that when you picture a medieval siege, people will say, you know, there's someone on the top of the wall and they're throwing down boiling oil. Pouring down boiling oil is not a great idea because it's wasteful. Where are you going to get more of that oil? Especially if we're talking the zombie apocalypse and we are living maybe in North America and it's difficult to get oil. So don't boil your oil and drop it on the zombies. Just boil water. That'll do the trick just as well. It'll scald the people below. Hopefully zombies, not people. Scald those zombies below. Or you can just superheat sand. You can drop that down. It was really useful in the Middle Ages to drop hot sand down on knights because it would get in all the cracks of their armor and it would be painful and itchy. I don't know if this is going to be as useful for zombies, but there it is. Don't drop boiling oil on your enemies. That's wasteful. Save your oil for cooking and for other things like maybe flaming projectiles if you could make one. Instead, use boiling water. Because you have a great well. You've already built the well. There are some other tips on shelter that are in my zombie guide, but we're going to move on to the next section, which is food. So we've got our weapons, we've built our shelter, and now we need to make sure that we have a food source. So fortunately for us, if we've raided a really amazing grocery store, we'll have canned food to live on for a little while. But until those trade routes are up and running, we're going to have to grow our own food so that when we're building a shelter or picking a spot for our shelter, we need to make sure that we could possibly grow things in the land around us because we don't want to go too far. We don't know when the zombies are going to attack. So we need to be able to grow our food close enough that we can get behind the walls when we need to. So one of the things that people did in the Middle Ages was they grew food within the walls. And that's something we can do, especially if we have concentric circles of walls. We can create little gardens in between our walls, which is very useful. And if we do that outside, we have to make sure of a couple things. First of all, that the land we're finding has enough water because we'll need the water to grow our plants. And also that it's not going to flood. Hopefully you've picked a site where you have an idea of whether it's going to flood in spring or not, because especially in places like where I live in Canada, we need to make sure that all of the land is not going to be so flooded after the snow melt that it's going to be useless. So you want to make sure that you can grow things there. Now, if we think about how much land we'll need, we often look at land in terms of acres right now. So you measure land in acres. An acre is a measurement that comes to us from Anglo-Saxon, and it's the amount of land that can be plowed by a team of oxen in one day. So if you think of an acre and you're picturing it around the shelter that you've picked post-zombie apocalypse. That is as much as you would have been able to plow using a team of oxen back in the day. If you don't have a team of oxen, it's going to take you longer to plow that land. So when you start to look at how much land you need to grow, how many plants, an acre is how much you could use with a team of oxen. So it's going to take you longer. You're going to have to budget your time for plowing this. Hopefully you find a field that doesn't have a lot of rocks in it. I'm wondering, you know, if maybe we could start building shelters on golf courses because they have lots of space, and maybe we can just turn that soil. But this is why when the zombie apocalypse comes, I'm going to seek out my friends who are farmers, because I know nothing about this. All I know is that the measurement of an acre is a medieval one, and it had to do with plowing. So I'm going to find farmers. Hopefully you'll find them as well, because they'll be able to help us feed ourselves in the zombie apocalypse. Fortunately, we've become very good with our bows, so we'll be able to shoot small game, or hopefully big game, and snare it as well as people did in the Middle Ages. Once we have caught our food, if we are meat eaters, we are going to need to preserve it. And back in the day, people used salt to preserve their food, or they smoked it. And if you're going to smoke it, you're going to have to hang it in the rafters and have a fire underneath it and dry it out and smoke it. And that is how you're going to save your meat over time, because you're going to need to. So this is something that you need to do during the zombie apocalypse. And if you do live in North America, just a handy tip, you want to hide your food where the bears can't get it as well. So if you haven't built your shelter already, hang your food in a tree, because you don't want the bears coming to eat it while the zombies are coming to eat you. Hopefully, at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, we've all gone to the grocery store, we've got our canned food, and we've also got containers that we can preserve our food in. But eventually, we're going to run out of containers as well. So what do we do? Well, we can start to make our own dishes, just like they did back in the Middle Ages, by digging clay and starting to create our own pottery. So when we do this, you need to spin it on a wheel. You need to keep the clay wet so it's pliable and you can spin it and get it into the shape that you want. If you need to keep a clay jar sealed, you can cover it with something like linen and you can seal it with beeswax. So you need to make bees your friend, which I'm going to get to in a minute. So we can make our own containers by going back to pottery, just like people did in the Middle Ages. When it comes to growing our food, we'll need to use techniques like people used in the Middle Ages, because say we're turning a golf course into a farm, chances are, you know, it's been growing grass, it's not all that fertile, so we'll have to collect scraps from our food, and we'll have to collect things like manure as well, just like people did back in the day, and we'll need to use those to grow our crops. So one of the things people did in the Middle Ages was they collected their scraps, they collected manure, they used these things to put back into the garden and put the nutrients back into the soil. So if this is something you're not in the habit of, composting, this is something you're going to need to be in the habit of during the zombie apocalypse, just like people did in the Middle Ages. So you want to reuse all sorts of things. Don't throw away seeds, keep them, use them again. You want to keep the parts of an animal, because so many of parts of the animal can be useful. Right? So if you are eating a deer, for example, you can use an antler to create a hilt for a knife that you're creating, to make sewing needles, to make combs, to make skates. Actually, the Vikings used antlers to make skates, and you can too. If you're eating cows, save the horns. Horn was used in the same way that something flexible like plastic is used today. If you soak horn for a long time, you can unroll it. You can use it to make windows. You can use it to make cups. You can use it to make spoons, or all sorts of different things that you might think that you could use plastic for today. So horn is very useful to keep the horns from the cows that you eat. You can use intestine to make sausages or strings. You can use the feathers from those birds that you're eating to stuff pillows, to stuff mattresses, to create quills. So all of these things are useful. So it's not just recycling, say, the eggshells that you have and using them as compost and putting them in the garden, but it's using every single piece of the animals that you're eating. Of course, I didn't even mention leather, which we'll probably end up using. Maybe we'll run out of clothes and have to create our own clothes, but it's more likely we'll have to use leather for things like shoes and bags and that kind of thing. So we'll reuse things as much as possible, just like they did back in the day. When it comes to cooking, we're going to be back to the Middle Ages again, but the good thing is people in the Middle Ages had pretty tasty food because they had access to all sorts of herbs that we do as well. So a lot of ones that you'd find in a kitchen garden, things parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme, oregano, basil, you can use those just like people did back in the day. You can roast your meat on a spit. You can cook it in a pot over a fire. You can toss in vegetables and some grains and just let it simmer and make pottage. All sorts of medieval food is really, really tasty. It's filling, it's nourishing, and hopefully you can come up with enough meat to keep your diet going. And now we know that we need to make sure we are getting enough vitamin C, because we know a little bit more than people did back in the day, and we don't want to get scurvy. So even though we're creating all sorts of great medieval dishes, we also have the modern sensibility that we need to make sure we get vitamin C and don't get scurvy as well. But you can get all sorts of the nutrients that you need, just like people did back in the day, and you can cook it in tasty ways, like putting it on a spit, like putting it in a pottage. And you can create your own bread oven by creating a clay dome, superheating the inside by putting a fire in it, taking those coals out and putting your bread dough in there, covering it back up. People used these portable clay ovens in the Middle Ages when they were on campaign in armies or for street cooking. So you can make the same type of oven with little problem, just creating a clay dome and putting a fire inside, taking it out and putting your food in it. So in the case of the zombie apocalypse, we won't have electric stoves, but that doesn't mean that we are not going to have tasty food, because food from the Middle Ages was cooked in all sorts of tasty ways, and we can do it again. So the next thing we have to deal with, we've dealt with weapons, shelter, food, is probably medicine, because chances are, as we're building our shelter, we're going to get nicks and cuts. Hopefully we won't get a lot of colds or communicable disease, but you never know. When humans get together, we can pass on all sorts of germs. So this is going to be the case in the zombie apocalypse as well. Now, I don't know how to cure a zombie bite, so I don't have that information in my zombie guide, but there are other things that we can use. We talked about some of these things when I was speaking with Ilana Krug a couple of weeks ago. We talked about honey, especially. So you can use honey to clean out a wound and bind it together. Honey has these antibacterial properties in it, if it's sterile, as Ilana said. And so you can put honey on cuts, and that will keep things relatively clean if you have nothing else. One of the other things that people used back in the day, and they were using it in medieval times and all the way up into World War I, is sphagnum moss. So people would pack their wounds with peat moss, because sometimes some of the bacteria that were growing, some of the molds that were growing in this moss would be antibacterial as well. So if you have a wound and you need to pack it with something absorbent, you can pack it with moss if you don't have any other options during the zombie apocalypse. And if it's a certain type of moss, this sphagnum moss, there's a chance that some of the molds growing in it will be useful to you. Sort of like the bread mold penicillin ended up being an antibiotic that we're still using today. And speaking of antibiotics, if you have them during the zombie apocalypse, save them for infections. Lots of people use antibiotics for the common cold. Don't do that. You're going to need these, because as people in the Middle Ages knew, the most dangerous thing that they were facing when they were off the battlefield was infection. You need to make sure that you keep everything as clean as possible. So if you see a dark line running up from a cut, you possibly have blood poisoning. That is a good example for when you should be stepping up your game in terms of what you're using to kill bacteria. Maybe don't go for honey, maybe go for antibiotics at that time. But don't use your antibiotics for the common cold. instead, try different things. Honey is great for colds, keeps everything nice and moist. So you want to use something like that. One of the other things that Ilana Krug and I talked about a couple weeks ago was white willow bark. White willow bark, you can brew it in a tea or you can chew it. It's got salicylic acid in it, which is very similar to our acetylsalicylic acid. Say that 10 times fast, which is aspirin, basically. So white willow bark, you can use as a painkiller if you need to. So in the case of the zombie apocalypse, you've got yourself a headache or, you know, you're dealing with something that's painful. White willow bark is something you can brew or you can chew and it will take care of the pain. But hopefully you've already raided the pharmacy and you've got your ibuprofen and your other painkillers. But in a pinch, white willow bark will work. When people had cuts back in the day, we often think about them cauterizing it, and people did cauterize their wounds. Avicenna explains in detail in his Canon of Medicine how to cauterize a wound. But they also, back in the day, would suture wounds with silk thread. And you can suture things. In the event of the zombie apocalypse, if you don't have a needle, you can create one, you can carve one out of antler. It would probably take a long time to do that, so you want to have one ready just in case. But people did suture wounds using needles made out of metal or antler or other things like that. And so you can suture wounds just like people did back in the Middle Ages. Or you can cauterize them if you need to by superheating some metal. Avicenna thinks gold is the best. If you have gold, then you can cauterize with that. If you don't, then just use a metal that is handy and hopefully clean. Also, people knew back in the Middle Ages that you can clean out a cut with alcohol. So if you have alcohol, I'm sure most of you know this today, you can clean a wound out with alcohol. People did know that back in the Middle Ages, and they used wine especially to clean out wounds, and you can do that as well. You can also use all sorts of herbs. You can use ginger for upset stomach. We know that works. If you're North American, you might run out of ginger pretty fast, so stockpile ginger or, you know, over-the-counter stomach remedies. Peppermint has been used for indigestion and bloating and that kind of thing for a long time. And one of the other things that you'll need to get at the pharmacy, and this is one of my survival tips in the zombie guide, is you're going to need birth control. During the event of the zombie apocalypse, you may not be thinking about, you know, taking humanity to the next generation. But there are going to be some moments in which you're going to have to think about family planning. So when the zombies arrive and you find yourself at a drugstore and you're grabbing stuff off the shelves, one of the things you might want to grab is birth control. But if you forgot to do that and you have left the pharmacy behind, the Middle Ages had some tips for that as well. There are a few things that you can use, and I don't have the actual recipes for this, but we do know that people, to prevent pregnancy in the Middle Ages, used chamomile. They also used the seeds from Queen Anne's lace, which is a plant that made its way over to the Americas from Europe. I wonder if there's a reason for that. So you can use the seeds from Queen Anne's lace. You can use seeds from pomegranates, and you can use different herbs as well. There is a great book called Eve's Herbs by John Riddle, and it goes through all the contraceptive plants that people used back in the day. If you find yourself on the Nile or other places where there's crocodile, you could use the ancient wisdom, which is to make a pessary to disrupt your pH, out of crocodile dung. But for everybody else, we probably need to use herbal remedies if we haven't gone to the pharmacy first. And we're not sure how well those are going to work without some experimentation. So everybody should plan their sleeping arrangements accordingly. So there are some other useful tips about medicine in the zombie guide. But moving on, I'm going to get to just a couple of general things that will be useful for you when the zombie apocalypse hits, because it's going to be difficult to try and maintain the standard of living that we have. So what can we use? And the first thing that I get at here is how are we going to stay clean? Now, for a while, hopefully we've grabbed soap and we've grabbed shampoo and we've got all that kind of stuff. But if we haven't, or if we run out, how do we stay clean? In the Middle Ages, people would create soap by using wood ash and tallow. So wood ash and fat. And you could use this to clean laundry. You can use it to clean dishes. You can even use it to clean people, but it's alkaline and it will burn your skin. So it's something that you want to kind of use sparingly for the sake of your skin if you can. But if you need to make a quick soap, wood ash and animal fat will create a soap that you can use. If you're lucky enough to live somewhere where you can have olive oil soap is also really great. It's what people used in the Middle Ages as well when they wanted a gentler soap. So you can use olive oil soap as well. If you just want to smell nice, you can do what people did in the Middle Ages, which is to infuse the water that you're using to wash with flowers like roses. When people washed their clothes back in the Middle Ages, they would hang them on lavender bushes. So lavender has traditionally been associated with laundry, just as it is now. Maybe in your grandmother's house, she has a little sachet of lavender in her drawers. People have been using lavender to make their laundry smell nice for a long, long time. And in the event of the zombie apocalypse, we can do that too. Another thing I mentioned in the zombie guide is to give bees a chance, because bees were completely useful in the Middle Ages because of not only the honey that they made, which we can use as a sweetener when the zombies make sure that we can't get sugar anymore in certain parts of the world. So we can use their honey as a sweetener. We can use it in medicine. We can use it to create mead, which we may want to do depending on how long those winter nights are when the zombies have us surrounded. And we can use the wax for all sorts of things, for sealing, like the clay jars that I was talking about. We can use it for binding medicines and things like that. We can use it for waxing our bowstrings to make sure that they are not fraying, that they're useful. We can use beeswax to make candles. And hey, we can even use it to make lip balm. So in the event of the zombie apocalypse, if you can make yourself a nice bee colony within your shelter, that is something that you definitely want to do. In the Middle Ages, people used beeswax and honey for all sorts of things, and we'll need to use that as well. One of the things that people did in the Middle Ages that we will need to do in the event of a zombie apocalypse is to tell our story. Now, right now, we are writing with things like pens and pencils, or we're typing things up on computer. Eventually, all of those things will run out as well, and we'll have to make our own writing implements. So, back in the day, people made parchment out of animal skin, so that is an option for us. Made paper out of pulp, which is another option for us, especially if we're recycling old things. Or we could create paper out of linen, which is another thing that people did back at the end of the Middle Ages. We could also create quill pens. Now, quill pens are really easy to make. Goose feathers are really good for this. You want to cut the end of it on an angle, and you want to put a little slice in it so that it collects the ink really nicely. And the good thing about ink is we can make it with all sorts of things. So as we are running out of tea, that is kind of my nightmare when it comes to the zombie apocalypse, is running out of tea. As we're running out of tea, we can use the old tea if we're not drinking it, and we can create ink out of that. We can create ink out of all sorts of different plants, which is something that we're going to need to do and to practice. So that is something that we'll want to do, is to record our story. If it was not for people who were recording their stories back in the Middle Ages, we wouldn't know even half of what we know today. We can find out lots through archaeology, and archaeology is so important. But a lot of what we know comes from chronicles. So when the zombie apocalypse hits, we are going to need to start chronicling our stories. And hopefully that is something that we do when that day comes. Hopefully it will never come. So this is just the briefest of guides on how to use history to survive the zombie apocalypse. So the next time someone asks you, what is history useful for? You can say, well, it's definitely going to be useful when the zombies arrive. So just as kind of an aside, I wrote The 5-Minute Medievalist's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse as a way to have fun, but also to look at how people dealt with things back in the day and how we would deal with them again if we lost things like electricity and trade routes and gasoline and all of those things. How do we deal with it? And when I wrote this, it accidentally got me invited to the first ever zombie apocalypse medicine meeting at Arizona State University last October, which is a great time, where all sorts of scientists got together to talk about zombies and the research that they're doing in kind of a fun way. And I wanted to give them a shout out because the people who created the Zombie Apocalypse Medicine Meeting have now got their own podcast called Zombified. And a lot of the guests who were there speaking at this meeting are having their own podcast episodes. So you can learn about all sorts of really interesting scientific stuff that has to do with zombies, if zombies are your thing. Before we go, we have Peter from medievalist.net to tell us what's on the website. So what's on the website this week, Peter?
Hi, Danielle. What do we got? We don't have very too much on the website. Alas, we've had what we call technical difficulties, which means that anyone can see the site. I just haven't been able to post very much new content to the site over the last week. So I'm all in tears, but I'm sure we'll get through it. But we do have some things that I wanted to mention that came up kind of early last week. One is the V&A, Victoria and Albert Museum, is going to start courses on medieval art. So if you are a Londoner and you want like the best medieval art course ever, there's information on how you can actually apply to join that on the site. We also have a couple of posts. One is by Nicole Evelina. It's about the Anglo-Saxon Lindisfarne. It's a kind of an island with a monastery and a castle, and it was very kind of important in the early Middle Ages. And so she has written a post about that that kind of coincides with her book on the Guinevere trilogy. So she's so kind of check that out. And also, if you were ever interested in how they got people to join the navies in the Middle Ages, we have a piece by Kate Stevenson, which is really great. And basically, the food, delicious. So you will see that. And hopefully in the next few days, we'll have the site back up and running and we'll have some much more new content going.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for the zombie noises, Peter. Thank you. If you love the podcast, get involved by becoming one of our patrons on Patreon. You can sign up to donate less than the price of a cup of coffee per month, or you can grab yourself a sweet subscription to Medieval Warfare Magazine, and you can help us out at the same time. It's all appreciated. You can find us at patreon.com/medievalists. For all sorts of great articles about the Middle Ages, you can follow medievalists.net on Facebook or Twitter at medievalists. You can also follow me, Danielle Sobalski, across social media at 5MIN Medievalist or 5-Minute Medievalist. You can find the 5-Minute Medievalist's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse and my other books, including pre-ordering my new book, Life in Medieval Europe, Fact and Fiction, on Amazon. Our music is Beyond the Warriors by Guy Frog. Thanks for listening and best of luck in the coming zombie apocalypse. Have yourself an awesome day.